And so today, I want to start out. Thank you, Sam. And I'm doing a part two today on the message, Faith Tried by Fire. Thank you, Shirley, for the piano. And by the way, she made a wonderful chili down there. So after the service, I hope that people will be able to stick around. And she made chili and she made cornbread and whatever else you put together there. And I know I made a cheesecake, a frozen cheesecake. I hope that you'd enjoy that and whatever else somebody else might have brought with. And I know that that's going to be just as good. And looking forward to just a wonderful time of fellowship down there after the church service is over. So praise God. And we're going to go ahead and begin now. And before I begin, just I'm going to pray one more time, Lord God in heaven, that you would be with us today, Lord God, that you would send every devil, oh Lord God, packing, oh Lord Jesus, that no devil can come here to do an influence of any kind, oh Lord, to sway or to discredit or to discourage, oh Lord God, in any way, that people would be edified and strengthened and helped, oh Lord God. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So I want to start out today and ask that you would go with me to Psalm 119:71. 119 verse 71. How many know that afflictions, tests, and trials of every kind are the actual proving grounds of a true faith? Without the affliction in your life, without tests, without trials and tribulations and suffering and temptations, did you know that you're afflicted by temptations too? That without such a thing, your faith can never be known or tried or proven. And it is on these grounds that we are justified by God, by faith in Him. Amen. There it says in Psalm 119, I just want to read that one verse, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, people by and large and in general and typically and usually are stubborn folk until the Lord gets a hold of us and begins to burn the dross and all the garbage that's in our hearts out from us so that we can begin to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to truly understand what the Lord is doing in our lives. Because, you know, you can't really trust people who have not been through the fire spiritually with their faith. But when they've been tested and tried, now there is a man and a woman that you can count on, that will be faithful, that will have substance in their life, that will have something to bring to the table, that they have something to offer. But you see, you don't get tested and tried by going to school. Somebody once asked me, well, actually several times, what school have I gone to? And I would tell them, the school of hard knocks. That's been my school. The school of hard knocks. The school of going through tests and trials and afflictions of every kind. You know, you don't really see brawny sailors that are wimpy. Usually they've been tested and tried by the elements. Tested and tried by the affliction. By going through the toughest storms out at sea. You can't paint those ingrained lines in a person's face. You can't paint it by going to school there. You have to earn it by going through that fire, by going through that trial. You don't. When you're a salty sailor, they call them, like you're on the ocean in a boat, and you're going through heavy storms. Year after year, You begin to have what they call sea legs. You get your sea legs under you. Because you're able to withstand the storms of life. You're able to withstand all the trials, the fiery darts of the enemy. And how many know that the devil's trick is to spear you and try to penetrate your faith, to try to discredit God and discourage you, to try to discredit anything that the Lord is trying to do in your life to cause you to doubt your faith, cause you to doubt God, cause you to doubt the process that He's bringing you through. People are going to come your way and they're going to test you and they're going to try you. People are going to come your way and they're going to say things and do things to try to get you off the one way. Any way but the one way. Amen? But that one way has always been that one straight, narrow road that won't deviate to the right or to the left. That won't deviate and cause you to slip up and slide into the sea of sin. Because truly it's there. And God is looking for people to rise up, put their armor on, to be armor bearers, to hold up a standard, that standard of holiness. Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 5, 1 Peter. Oh, praise God. All right, whenever you're there. Oh, praise God. How many knows that the devil uses javelins and spears and darts to try to penetrate, try to ruin you, to try to cause you to just give up. Say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. It's too hard. The fight, the heat of the battle is too hot for me. But here, in verse 5, 1 Peter, verse 5, it says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is exactly the whole focus of the message. This not only was part one last week, the focus, part two this week, we try to expound a little more deeply, a little more earnestly, as to what the Lord is trying to show us in His Word about trials and afflictions. Now let's go now to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. It'd be great if I could find it though. Here we go. Chapter 12. And here I want to start out with verse 1. No, let's just go to 10 here. Just start out in 10, I'm sorry. 12:10. For they verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers in His holiness. Wow, there's a lot that can be said about that right now. I know that there are those who have suffered manifold trials and afflictions and temptations of every kind, those who were in China and Russia, those who were persecuted for their faith. There is a man, these are the lilies among thorns. These are the kind of people that are the dew on the earth in the middle of a desert, streams in the desert. These are cedar trees that grow up and become strong with deep roots. These are the kind of people that have gone through the fires of affliction. They have been tested and tried. They have gone through it to stand the test of time. They have gone through it to come forth as gold, more precious than gold, more precious than silver. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Oh, that's what we're supposed to do, folks. Lift up your hands. Stand up. Be counted for. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, there's a story of a man. Well, before we get there, let's finish this right here. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which the lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Our chief end is to bring glory to God. That is the chief end of all of us, is to bring God glory, to bring Him something at the end of our life that He has worked in and worked through and worked out through the tests and trials and afflictions of our lives. That we can bring forth something to bring at His to the Lord's feet on that day. Whether we have sheaves with us, whatever it is that we have in our hand that we can lay at His feet, to be accounted for something. Something to give in return. We receive that crown. We don't wear that crown. We also cast that at the feet of Jesus. We don't take the glory for anything that we've done, nor can we accept it. Well, praise God. Amen. You know, there's a story of a man in China who, for many years, he ridiculed Christians. He ridiculed anything to do with God. One day, somebody witnessed to him on his deathbed. He was dying and he was going to hell. And a relative came and talked to him about Jesus Christ and how that He can save, heal, and deliver. And so the man decided he's going to pray. He said he's going to pray and he's going to ask God not only to forgive him, but to deliver him from death and even to heal him. Well, he began, as the Lord began to do a work in his life, the Lord healed him completely. 100% healed in that bed, that deathbed. We're all in that deathbed at some point, aren't we? Where we all need to rise up in the newness of life. We all walk in death apart from Jesus, apart from His healing. So this man began to be a witness. This is then way back in the day, back in the 1930s and 40s. And as he began to be a witness, they began to taunt him and make fun of him. They began to test and try him. They put him in prison. They said he was a counter-revolutionary. They said that they made up all kinds of lies and stories about his character and about his faith in Jesus. And this man was put in prison. He was put in prison for 15 years. Hard labor in the middle of snow and ice. And not only did he suffer in that regard, his wife wrote him a letter asking for a divorce. The only person that he had left that would give him any comfort for words decided, like Job, his wife wanted to be divorced from him. So he cried out to God. He could hardly bear it another day. As he cried out to God to give him strength, "Oh Lord God, help me." And tears would well up in his eyes, and he would sob heavily on that snow and ice in the middle of the courtyard there. And then suddenly he heard a voice of an angel. The voice of an angel of God that said, "Continue, bear this load for the time of the end, for your reward will be great. Your tests and trials will be worth something." And so he got up and he was handcuffed, beaten, kicked. They tried to strangle him. They did all manner of things to inflict harm to this man. Later, he tried to recover. He wrote his wife a letter acknowledging that it's okay if she wants a divorce. And so he allowed that to happen. And then he was going through more afflictions and more afflictions and more. Suddenly, he was at the end of himself. He was at his very wit's end of his life. And as he was laying unconscious one day, he was asking the Lord, because see what had happened. They had thrown his body. They thought he was done for. He was dead. He was dying. They threw him in this room full of other dead bodies. And he says, "Lord," as he laid there in that filth, as he laid there, he says, "Lord, if I appeal to you, Lord God, if you would just heal me. Help me to be a witness and a light for you." And the Lord sent another angel. And what had happened next was that he opened his eyes and the room lit up and the angel appeared. Angel of God. And says, "Are you so and so?" He put his hand on his shoulder and says, "Come with me." And in a moment, they were in another room. A room that was full of light, bright, peaceful. In a moment, he sat on a white chair. And this angel carried a backpack, a medicine pack in the form of a cross on his back. And he took out this white stethoscope and a tube, and he put it in this man's mouth, and he blew into it, and this man was instantly healed. This is a true story. And as he began to walk about and praise God, all he could do was just praise God and tell everyone about what the Lord had done for him. And they began to afflict him again. And one day, he was let out of prison after 15 years. But then they met him as he came out of prison. A bunch of thugs in that area where he had grown up, where he had relatives. Well, some of his relatives tried to speak on his behalf, but even they kind of turned his back on him. And what had happened next was they began to torture this man. They put him in handcuffs, marched him down the street, and told him to deny Jesus, to deny, reproach Christ, to deny his faith. And if he didn't, that they would torture him some more. And they hit him with a hammer on the head, and they kept hitting him until his face ballooned, his whole head ballooned to an unrecognizable state. They walked him down the street. They pushed him down. They kicked him. They slapped him. They hit him. They beat him. And they saw they were going to throw him in the sewer. But they saw too many people watching. This is in China now. They saw too many people looking at what was going on. So they took his hat and they dipped it in that sewage. They put it on his head and put it real tight around his swollen head. And they marched him and he started coughing up blood. And they found dog manure and they put that dog manure in his mouth. And they kicked him again and they hit him and they beat him. And they did all these things in his life to this man. And he finally fell unconscious. And someone picked him up later and they laid him in a bed. And he was in bed for about 2.5 months before the Lord took him home. And he would get up and he would pray. He would stop eating and he would start reading the Word of God and pray. And that would be his meat and drink. And he would fast and pray for the leaders of that country, for the people round about him. And that was the kind of contentment and joy and peace that was brought forth from the furnace of affliction. This kind of man, this is the kind of a renewing. This is the kind of gold and silver that comes forth. It's more precious than gold and silver. It's that tried faith. And he ended up dying 2.5 months later in that bed. And they had a huge memorial service. The cannons blew. They had cannon fire. And they had song. And they did all these things to commemorate this great hero of the faith. And you see, one day, we too, if we endure, if we have patience, which means endurance in the Word of God, if we have patience unto the end, we too will one day come into glory, feeling and seeing and knowing and experiencing the welcome home that this man had as the angels carried him into heaven. Carried his soul into the very gates of heaven. And so let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, without trouble and affliction, we have no real living testimony of overcoming evil for the glory of God. Amen. Here, in verse 7, it begins, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be God and not of us." In other words, not our human weakness. We can't carry that into heaven. We can't have victory in the arm of the flesh. We can't have victory in all these things. Although When we have weakness, when we are weakness, the Lord is strong in us. But that's not what we're talking about here. It's about we cannot glorify God in the carnal or the flesh. We cannot glorify God and expect to be rewarded by carrying on in our lives, trying to escape trouble and trying to escape afflictions, trying to get to heaven without paying a price. Anything worth having is going to cost you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is that spiritual hope. Paul had gone through that. Many trials and tribulations himself. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I was in verse 7. Started in verse 7. Did you see that? And right now I'm down to verse 10. And it says here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, Christ-like. The very image of Christ, as I had made mention last week, how that when silver is refined, when silver is put over a fire, the silversmith knows that the silver, all the dross is gone when he sees his image in the silver. And so it is in our life with Christ. When the dross is burned out of our lives until the image of Christ is seen, we can know that we are being burned, purified from all the dross that was in our life. And it says here in verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you." That is spiritual abundance. That is the resurrection unto a new life. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," if you could turn the page, if you're there, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." And finally in verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Those are enduring, that enduring faith. You can't always see faith in the physical, but you can see it working in your life. You can't see the wind, as you already know, outside, but you know what's there. So it is with the Holy Ghost working through you and in you. You can't always see it, but you see the tangible effects. You see the fruit that it bears. And you see the very thing that the Lord is bringing you through. You see the fruit of that affliction. You see the fruit of that dross being burned away from your life. You see that fruit that the Lord, that precious fruit of patience, that precious fruit of waiting on the Lord, of endurance, of strength of faith, of hope, of trust. You begin to see these things develop in your life, like that old man in China when he was persecuted. It was just for a moment, a temporary thing in this life. But his weight of eternal glory was awaiting him. That perfect weight of eternal glory, that what he had to endure meant something. What he had to endure, it cost him everything. But he got more than that in abundance in return. He got more than his share when he came into heaven. And he's in heaven now, as you and I would be, if we endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And we'll see what it's like to endure in this life, to go through what you've got to go through, until that great day when you can finally say it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Every last bit of it. To go through what you had to go through because it was the love and grace of God that brought you through it. People don't understand that. They think, well, why should I love affliction? Why in the world would I love being tested and tried and fiery darts coming at me from all sides? Persecutions, trials, hardships, misunderstandings, slander, this, that, and the other. All these things that come to a person, you know, in the course of life. But you see, without those afflictions, you could never come forth a new person to glorify God. You could never attain to the height of faith without that stepping stone called affliction. Without the furnace. Without that. It's the way God set it up, and God has meant it to be that way for each one of us. So if you can understand that you must endure to the end, don't be ashamed. Don't be downcast, discouraged. Know that all of that is for God's plan and purpose in your life. All of that is being done to refine you into that person that God can use. That God can use that His name might be glorified forever. That He would even think to use us for that purpose. He doesn't need us, but He uses us. He includes us in the plan of salvation. He includes us in that eternal glory. He shares that with us. He doesn't have to, but He does. And what a wonderful thing. Let's go to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Amen. Here in verse 3, if you can go there. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What is patience? Endurance. And patience, experience. Oh, that experience. You can't buy experience. You can't buy it. You can't go to the corner experience store down on the side of the road called inexperience and ignorance. Happy Street. It doesn't work that way. You've got to earn it. You've got to go through what you've got to go through in life to gain experience. Patience. Experience. And experience hope. Because when you have that experience, you have that strength of hope. You have that inner knowledge and knowing that what you have gone through, it cost you. But God is going to do a work in you because of that. He's going to use that. He's going to use you. Because you've gone through what you're going through, He's going to use that in your life down the road to build upon that. So that He can use you for His glory. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise God. Patience, endurance, the fruit of tribulations. Let's go to Romans 12, if you would. Just back up to chapter 12. It says here, one verse, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. In other words, fight the good fight. Rejoice because of the end result that will culminate because of what you're going through. That's what it means. Rejoicing in that hope, that patient, enduring in tribulation is what that means. Continuing instant in prayer. In other words, when you are going through trials and tribulations, I guarantee you, you're going to find yourself on your knees more times than not. You're going to be instant in prayer. It's going to just roll off of your lips like air, that the air that you breathe, that prayer is going to be flowing out of you. You can't help it because it's just going to be something that God puts there. When you mean business with Him, He's going to mean business with you. He's going to cause you to see the great need to cry out to Him, get on your knees, and to cry out to Him with everything you've got. Because you're going to depend on Him by that faith. You need that hope that's in Jesus. You need that hope when you're going through that trial. I know that there was a time that I was going through and this is not about me, this message, obviously, but I just want to, I have nothing else but myself as an example to give. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that you all understand many things that I talk about because you have your own fight to deal with. You have your own trials and tribulations in your own life, so you can understand where I'm coming from. But I can only speak for myself, and that I know that even in this past summer, I was going through a majorly tough situation. And it about took the breath out of me, literally. I could hardly breathe. And there was a time I didn't know if I was going to make it, I couldn't even catch my breath. And it would be a struggle just to find a breath of air to get into me. Because of all the anxiety, of all the pressure, of all the things that I happened to be going through at that time. And it was very real. I was so surprised. I couldn't even understand how such a thing could have happened to me the way it did. But boy, it slowly began to come back. Slowly I began to catch my breath. Slowly. But the Lord had to bring me through something. He had to teach me some lessons. I've been going through that for many years now. Many, many, many tough lessons like that over and over. Although that's nothing compared to what most people go through. I mean, that's a light affliction compared to many who are in prison. Many who are being tortured for their faith. Many who are doing what they're going through. And I can't even look at myself as anyone who's gone through anything at all. That would be wrong to do it. It's God who judges that. It's my job just to get through what I need to get through and trust in Him for the outcome. And not worry about, poor me, that I had to go through this and go through that. Uh-uh. That's not what it's about. It's about casting that crown at the feet of Jesus. It's about giving that over to the Lord. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Life is going to be full of trials. You can just mark that down. That's guaranteed. But just don't forget that whenever you're going through what you're going through, It's for a greater cause, a greater victory down the road. The devil has it in his mind to destroy anything that is good in your life. The devil wants to destroy what the Lord has been doing up till now. If he can destroy your confidence and your faith, he's got you. That is where the rubber meets the road. If he can destroy your confidence in the Lord, if he can destroy your confidence in what the Lord's doing in your life right now, then he's got you. But you don't have to stay there. We are to fight the good fight. Run the race. Endure affliction. Don't give up. You're going to have people that are going to say things to you that are not going to make any sense at all. Why are they telling me this? And why are they telling me that? And why am I going through this all of a sudden now? Because I remember when I was in that cult in New Mexico, I'm telling you, it was a supernatural thing. And I was in that cult. And I was standing there having to give an account for why I decided I wanted to leave that compound. And all of a sudden, as I was standing there, the wind started howling and shaking the windows and the doors of that building, blowing incessantly. As they stood there in his military garb, walking and pacing back and forth on the concrete floor. And she walks in and she sits on the rocking chair and starts rocking back and forth. And she says, "Tell me now, what do you have to say for yourself?" And I was between a rock and a hard place. I didn't know what to do. Because I thought all hell was breaking loose against me. And I was just condemned to hell. And then I was going to wander all the days of my life because of this so-called prophecy she had given to me. And now I had a chance to redeem myself, apparently. So I had to go through what I had to go through. But it was very real. And the rest is on my testimony there. But it's a long story. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just saying, the Lord knows how to deliver. He delivered me from that situation. I trusted in God. I could have left with my brother Dave. He left about a month earlier. He decided he had enough of that place. And he wanted to know if I wanted to leave with him to take off. And I says, "No, I got to... Dave," I says, I don't know. I'm not convinced that this is not where God wants me, and I have to find out for myself. I have to go through this to know if, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I got to do it. And that's the kind of faith that God is looking for, not because I'm anything, I'm not, but that's the kind of faith that God wants to work in you. He wants you to have that kind of faith to say, "I'm going to stick through it. I'm going to go through what the Lord wants me to go through. Come hell or high water, whatever you got to go through in life, you're going to go through it." And trust God for the outcome. Amen? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, okay, praise God. Okay, praise God. Here we go. Chapter 6, and go down now to verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Oh, there's a wonderful story that comes out of the old ancient Roman times of a commander from the old Roman centurion, Vespasian is his name. And with him were 40 wrestlers, all men who have gave their life to Jesus. They sought to glorify Him. And in that time, I've got a printout thing here. I wanted to read just that slogan that they mentioned. I just wanted to get that much. I had had this for quite a while. But to keep in remembrance a lot of these things is hard for me. I have to sometimes refer to it. And the 40 wrestlers, anyways, they were stripped. They were stripped, and they were told that if you believe in Jesus, if you put your faith in the Lord, then you are to step out. So they step out, all 40 of them. And they said, now, he told Vespasian, I think that's how you say it, and he was told to tell these men to go out, he had to destroy these men somehow. He had to torture them, or he had to cause them to die. And he said, rather than having his own men fall upon them, he said, I'm going to leave you to the elements and the mercy of the wind and the cold. And so they were told to strip of all that they had on. And so they were told to walk naked. They got into four columns of 10. And they walked out into the middle of the lake. And they began to sing. And here, the thing that I wanted to say was, they were singing, 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, to win for Thee the victory, and from Thee the victor's crown. As they stood there singing all night long, as they were standing there naked in the freezing cold, Vespasian sat by his fire, and he was sitting there waiting it out, listening to them singing back and forth. Finally, in the early morning hours, he saw this one man who came crawling near Vespasian as he was sitting by the fire. And he had, at that point, he had forsaken the Lord. He said he couldn't, he was overwhelmed and overcome by the elements. And he was crawling back to the fire. And Vespasian asked him, what are you doing? And he says, I'm overcome. And Vespasian immediately took off his hat, his cloak, and he ran out there to join the wrestlers. And he sang that song. 40 wrestlers instead of 39, because he heard them singing 39 instead of 40. He wanted to join them. 40 wrestlers wrestling for Thee, O Christ, to win for Thee the victory, and from Thee the victor's crown. And what a wonderful statement of faith to take that kind of a stand, who was once a heralded general in the army of the Roman centurion army, to cast away his clothing and join them to die for the cause of Christ. I thought, that what a great story. I came across that years ago. And I thought, what a great story. What a wonderful testimony of how the Lord would do a work in someone's life. But I keep forgetting this verse thing here, and I had to get that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. How many know that faith, true faith, is the mark of the chosen of God? Without that faith that is tried and tested, you really can't consider yourself, really, in your own eyes, as one who is legitimately a man or a woman of faith without going through trials and tribulations in your life. Until your faith has been tested and tried. I'm not saying that you can't become a Christian or that you're not a Christian. I'm just saying that until you fully come to that understanding of what it means to suffer for Christ, where your faith is proven, that's what I'm talking about. Your faith must be proven. And here, why don't we go there to verse 9, Galatians 6:9. It says here, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." These are the doctrines of the Judaizers. Outward appearance is what they're concerned about, you see. "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In other words, you're dying with Christ. You die to the world, to sin, death, flesh, the carnal. You die to the desires of the carnal nature. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Who is the Israel of God? Those that are born again. That's the Israel of God. That's the true Christian. The true Israel are those that are born again, believers. So it's a metaphor the Word of God talks about in the Word of God here. Whenever you see the word Israel, it should be true Christian. As you can apply that easily that way. That's what the Lord is calling His people, true Israel. "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Oh boy, the marks of the Lord is that faith that is tried and tested. A man is apt to fall and fail under the duress of trials. It's our sincerity and faithfulness that the Lord wants. That is duly tested and tried. He wants us to know. He wants us to see. He wants us to experience what it's like to have true faith in Christ. Let's go to John 18. John chapter 18. Oh, praise God. John 18. And I want to share here a story of It's a little story about the Lord. And it starts out in verse 4. There we're talking about here is Jesus. "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground." You imagine that? That overpowering presence of God would cause people to fall to the ground. That overcoming power, the presence of God in your life, will cause demons and devils to flee. Will cause the enemy to bow before you. Amen? That's what this is showing us. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Oh, they were confounded, were they not? God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God will always do that to prove your faith, but to give him the glory. You know, one example of that is the rock that followed the Israelites in the desert. A rock that followed the Israelites, it moved by itself. But that rock, as you already know, was that great metaphor, that type and shadow of Jesus. That rock, that out of that rock came rivers of living water. And that pillar in the front and behind, by day and night, they were surrounded by the presence of God. In spite of their murmuring, in spite of all that they were doing, they had to go through the wilderness. God wanted to bring them through it to purge them for His purpose. But you see, many failed. Many could not enter into the promised land. And we know that if we are to endure to receive the promise, we are to endure hardship to receive the promise. The promise of salvation. The promise of heaven. The promise of your name being written, having received a new name. The promise of being covered in the blood of Jesus. Of being renewed, sanctified, circumcised in heart, strengthened, to have that hope, to have that promise, that hope of Christ in you, through you, and around you. That living purpose, that witness, to bring you to a higher place, that higher ground. Without this, you cannot attain it. Here, in 7, let's go on to read. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote off the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. No doubt he wanted to cut his head off. I'm sure of it. Simon Peter, being as impatient as he was, being he wanted to do things now, and he was very, I can't even think of the word. Well, anyways, Peter had to learn too, but praise God. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which thy Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Isn't that the way of the devil? The devil wants to cause the plan of God in your life to stop. The devil's going to try to send people your way and say, oh, poo-poo, don't worry about this. And oh, look, you know, is everything okay? I mean, I know that you're going through a hard time, but you don't have to go there. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. I mean, the Lord has a better plan for you, you know. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through what you're going through. Oh, poo-poo. Poor you. Poor me. That's what the devil wants to do, to destroy, to take away, to erase what the Lord is trying to put in your life for a greater cause and a greater purpose. And the Lord said, shall I not drink it, that cup? And that, my friend, is what the Lord wants us to do. When He said to, was it James and John? And they said, you shall indeed drink of this cup. Remember how that they asked Him, we are able. We are able to drink it, Lord. Well, you shall indeed drink it. You, in other words, you will be going through many trials and tribulations that are set for thee. You will go through fire, the furnace of affliction. You will be baptized in that kind of a baptism by fire. Let's go now to Psalm 37. 37. Okay. I'm going to try to get as far as I can here. Matter of fact, it seems like I'm running a little low on time. Maybe I'll skip. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter then. But I do want to read a few areas here. I want to say here, in verse 4, for example, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Praise God. We know that there is a plan and a purpose. The Lord sees it all. He knows the days are short, the days are evil. He knows that the time is short now for the devil. The devil knows it. And he's out to get as many people as he can to destroy, to ruin their testimony, to ruin them in any way he can to cause people to fall, to ruin their witness for Christ, or to cause people to be caught up in drugs and alcohol and all these other vices, to cause people to go headlong into hell without a chance to repent, without an opportunity to give their life to Him, to destroy them from off the face of the earth. So my encouragement to you is to wait patiently and to endure patiently. To go through what you're going to go through. Go to Revelations with me, chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. We're about ready to close here now. Revelations chapter 2. In verse 10 it says, fear none of these things which shalt thou suffer. Thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shalt cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, that ye have tribulation 10 days. That 10 days is a period of testing. That's what that means. It's a period, however long you are being tested, to be tested. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Moving on over now to chapter 3. Over here now to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. In other words, beyond that you are able to bear. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God. And I want to finally end by going to 3:18. Chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes, and eye salve, that thou mayest see. Did you know that you are truly naked until you are purged of that dross? You are truly naked and deceived until you are tried in the fire. Until the Lord puts that new raiment, that new white raiment, that clothing on you, His Spirit, His strength, His hope, and that kind of faith, that overcoming faith, that new life in Him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. So you can rest assured that God has in for you what the devil means for evil, God means for good in your life. That you might be found acceptable in His sight, renewed with power, redeemed by the blood, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, found through faith in Christ. Amen. That tested and tried faith, that precious like faith, that God intends to take you through the fires of affliction, to burn away all those areas of your life that have caused you to crouch and crumble, that have caused you to compromise, that have caused you to think and do things that were not of God. God wants a pure and holy people because He's a consuming fire. And because He's a consuming fire, He's going to consume those things in your life by His Spirit, by His fire, that pure fire, that fire of affliction. God's way. Amen. Praise God. And that ends my sermon on that. And why don't we now just go now to the sing a song or two. But in the meantime, trust God in your life. Don't let the devil steal your victory. Don't let the devil come and rob you of what the Lord is trying to teach you in your life. Even though you go through things in your life that you don't understand one whit, not at all even, but yet God knows. God is able to deliver you. He has His best plan for you if you will only submit like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When those ropes were burned off of their feet and arms when they walked into the fire, the Lord actually set them free. And He looks to set you free. Amen.